Ready to start?
This is Energy Hills Technology.
Today she was being sponsored by Arturo Stern on the yard side of his father, Moshe Ben Avraham Shmuel Binyamin, of a Gadol Rissa.
Single sphere of some Tmimos. The Pasuk tells us that Tmimos Tehiyena, that the cohesive wholesomeness that is necessary in order to appropriately fulfill the mitzvah of sphere of some. The Gemara uses it in the context in Menachos and Nachsamach Vav, regarding it is that we begin counting the. One would think that if the Pasuk tells us Miyom HaBeyachem, it means that you offer the mitzvah to Omer, and then you go ahead and begin counting. Counting is considered to be Bayom and not Balayla. The Gemara says that cannot be. Tmimos Tena dictates that the entire day has to be counted, and therefore that means that you count the Omer at night. Tosus even goes a step further and maintains that not only is it true that a person should count at night as opposed to during the day, but Tosus writes one should count the tchilas halayla, at the very beginning, at the onset of the night, because even moments should not go by that are not included in the sphira. Tosus writes the following chiddush, that sphira sura bizman hazeh is only derabanan, and therefore one is allowed to count even during ben hashmashos, because it is a suffix drabanan. And then Tosus goes a step further that perhaps it's even preferable to count during ben hashmashos, because if you have that option, so therefore, as long as you wait, the longer that you wait to count, that is considered to be a kula, because you want to see to it that the entire day is included in the count. There is a comment of the Taz that writes that even typically when it comes to Shabbos, we will daven Maariv early. However, not to go ahead, for example, and to make Kiddush early on the Shabbos, again, because of the concept of Tmimos Tehiyena. We want the unit to be in its entirety, and therefore, if one will begin the Antif early, you're encroaching on the unit of Sfiras HaOmer, and therefore the unit as a whole, a Pisru Chamishim Yom, should be that which is fully wholesome. And then Tosfos cites the view of the Halachos Gedolos, the questions, what happens if a person misses a day of Sfiras HaOmer? Can you continue to count, or do you not? So the Bahag maintains that no, once a day is missed, so therefore you no longer continue to count. And Tosfos adamantly disagrees with the Shita of Halachos Gedolos, maintaining, yes, a day was missed, but nonetheless, you continue to count. You count even with a bracha as well. Seemingly, what underlies the view of the Bahag is, again, the concept of Tmimos Tehiyena, and that is there has to be a seamlessness in the Sfiras HaOmer, and therefore, once you miss an entire day, one cannot continue to count any longer. Exactly why is that true? The classic explanation of the view of the Halachos Gedolos is that we view the entirety of Sfira as a single mitzvah. The mitzvah to bridge the gap between Pesach and Shavuos, Ramban already tells us in Parsha Zeh that Pesach is referred to as Yantav Rishon, Shavuos is Yantav Achron, Hayamim Hasurim Bentayin Rein Kecholo Shamoed, all the intermediate days have a status, have a kedusha similar to that of Chol HaMoed itself. And if that really is true, if the purpose of Sfiras HaOmer is to bridge that gap between Pesach and Shavuos, one could argue that it's one elongated mitzvah, and that chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Once you miss a single day, as such, you are no longer connecting the Yantif of Pesach to that of Shavuos, and therefore you no longer continue to count. If that really is true, that this is the explanation of the view of the Halachos Gedolos, that Sfiras HaOmer represents not independent mitzvahs, but rather a single expansive mitzvah, perhaps that would lead one to argue as follows, that you know, if you miss a day of counting, not only does it impact negatively mikan l'haba, that you can no longer continue to count in the future, but what happened with every day that up until now you counted? If what underlies the Shita Halachos Gedolos, that this really is considered to be one mitzvah, to bridge that gap, to unite all of the days. Therefore, perhaps one could argue that once you miss a day, it impacts so negatively on each and every day indeed that you counted. This is what the Chida, for example, writes in his Sefer Morav Eska, that according to Halachos Gadolos, you miss a day, every day that you counted up until now was a bracha she'eino tzricha. It was with good intent, it was ba'onis perhaps, b'shogeg that you missed a day, but retroactively it turns out that the miss was not accomplished at all. That's questionable. Is that really true according to the view of the Halachos Gadolos? You know, the Mishnah Berurah comments in Tav Peites regarding women and Sfiras HaOmer. It is Machlokas Rishonim. Rav Rishonim maintained that certainly women are exempt from Sfiras HaOmer. Isn't that a classic example of a mitzvah saseh? Shahazman Grama. Certainly it is time-bound. Surprisingly, there is a Ramban in Kedushin that writes this is not true. The Ramban lists mitzvos that are not mitzvah saseh Shahazman Grama, and among that list, the Ramban writes Sfiras HaOmer. Much has been written to understand the sheet of the Ramban. Why would you argue that Sfiras HaOmer is not considered to be a time-bound mitzvah? But number one, the Ramban's view is that women are obligated in Sfiras HaOmer. Number two, if you look in the Magen Avraham and Tav Peites, the Magen Avraham comments that even though women technically are exempt, but nonetheless, kvar shaviwa aleha kechova, they've already accepted upon themselves to go ahead and to count Sfira. That's an interesting phrase that the Magen Avraham uses, kvar shaviwa aleha kechova. They've already accepted upon themselves to treat it as an absolute obligation. It's a comment that you also find in Ravi Kaveger. Ravi Kaveger writes the very first tshuva in the Hashmatos to that tshuva that this is true of Rov Mitzvah Saseh Shahazman Grama. Even though technically speaking women are exempt from Lulav, Sukkah, Shofar, perhaps and beyond, Ravi Kaveger writes, we've discussed many times, women are exempt from Kavod and Oneg and Yantif as well. Women are obligated in Simchas Yantif, but they're exempt from Kavod and Oneg. Rabbi Kveger writes, women are exempt from even Kiddush and Yantif, but Rabbi Kveger comments that one should recognize when it comes to most examples of Mitzvah Saseh Shahazman Grama, Kvar Shaviola Kechova, women have accepted upon themselves to treat it as an absolute obligation. The Minchasina questions the application of this principle regarding Sfiras HaOmer. Where did this come from? The notion of Kvar Shaviu LeKechova. So this is already what the Gaonim writes when it comes to Tfilas Arvis. Tfilas Arvis, as you know, is a machlokas in the Gemara, whether Marav is Rishus, Marav is a Chovav, a machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua, and Raman Gamliel. Now, technically speaking, we pass like Rabbi Yeshua that Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. But already the Gaonim maintain, the Rambam writes explicitly, that Shaviu LeKechova. The Rambam writes, Kvar Nohogu Kol Yisrael. And therefore we treat it as though it's considered to be a chova. So therefore no longer an option, but one is obligated to go and do so. So what the Gaonim write regarding Tfilas Arvis, so the Magen Avraham writes regarding Sfiras HaOmer, Rabbi Kaveger writes regarding most examples of a mitzvah saseh shahazman grama. Minchas Chinah questions that application. Because what exactly does Shaviu HaKechova mean? And Chosinach writes a Kiddush that not everyone agrees that that's a very technical term. In other words, when you have, for example, a mitzvah, where there's a machlokes, is this a chova, or is this a rishus? Tfilas Arvis, a machlokes, Rama Gamliel, and Rabbi Yeshua, even though technically speaking, Paskan like Rabbi Yeshua, maybe one could argue Kfar Nogol Cho Yisrael to adopt the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. But there has to be an opinion. It has to be b'makom plugta. When you have two different deals, one that says chav, one says rishus, this question, how do we paskin? I could argue now that Knesset Yisrael has determined to paskin like the sheep of Rabban Gamliel. But when it comes to something which is a pure rishus, women are exempt from the mitzvah. It's not a question of machlokas. That's a classic example of a mitzvah saseh, shazman grama. Can you honestly argue, but nonetheless, Shaviu HaKechova? Kechova, there is no opinion in Kechova. You can argue that despite the fact that women are exempt, but they routinely perform the mitzvah, the Torah, you know, it's a yasa. That, of course, is the case. See, even though women are exempt, women will go in here to keep Shaviu from Rosh Hashanah. That's fine. But to apply that principle of Shaviu HaKechova, but women are obligated, Magen Avraham, Shaviu HaKechova, Shapur, he writes the following comment, that even though, generally speaking, when women perform, they do so, and they do so with the bracha, the shita, the bali atosos, this should not be done when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, because after all, we have a concern that, you know, a person may miss a day. Men who are obligated, they must count, they must count. But if someone is exempt from counting, there's a potential downside, a downside, that they might miss a day of the Sfiras HaOmer. So therefore, why should you insist that a bracha is recited, recognizing that there is a possibility, maybe even a likelihood, that a day will be missed, and in such a case that it's going to throw off the minyan of Sfira. When you look at that Mishnah Berurah in Taftei Test, Mishnah Berurah quotes the name of the Shulchan Shlomo, you get the impression, like the Chida, that you're going to miss a day, and so what? You miss a day, so don't continue to count. No, but perhaps retroactively, it reflects so negatively on the days indeed that you counted. So looking at face value, that Mishnah Berurah, the concern is perhaps one would make a mistake, you would miss a day, so therefore seemingly indicates that missing a day is not only a challenge for the remaining days, but even for the days indeed that were counted. I would just make the following comment. The source of the Mishnah Berurah is the Shulchan Shlomo. When you look in the Shulchan Shlomo adds three words that the Mishnah Berurah does not write. We're concerned that maybe a woman will miss a day of counting, and then the Shulchan Shlomo writes, Ve'einan yodos hadin, and they're not familiar with the halacha. They're not familiar with the halacha. What exactly does that mean? They're not familiar with the halacha. That, I would tell you, means the opposite. The opposite. It means as follows. Women may very well miss a day of counting. It's not that objectively, by doing so, all of the days that they counted are a bracha levatala. The concern is they're unfamiliar with the halacha. A person misses a day of Ner Chanukah. You missed a day, but you still continue, and you light the subsequent days with a bracha. A person will reason that I missed a day, but I continue to count. They're not going to know the halacha of being chayish for the shita of the halachas gedolos, that once you miss a day, you no longer continue to count, and therefore they will continue to count with a bracha. That is the challenge, meaning quite the opposite, that the days indeed that they counted are certainly considered to be a mitzvah. It's only a question of mikan l'abah. Maintained, he thought it was clear that even according to lachos kedolos, you miss a day, you no longer continue to count. That's only a problem with a future orientation. It's not that it impacts negatively on the days indeed that you have counted. You know, if you look in already the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Mishaya raises the following issue. Maybe this is not such a unanswerable question, but Rabbeinu Mishaya already maintains that how can the Bahag argue that what? That each day is not an independent mitzvah, but rather it's one elongated mitzvah. Why then do you recite a bracha on each and every day? If it's mitzvah achas, we usually don't recite a bracha on Chelke HaMitzvah, but one single bracha. The fact that we recite a bracha, isn't that an indicator that it is considered to be independent mitzvahs, not one Kiyum HaMitzvah? If that was the only question, maybe one indeed could answer. We once discussed in Shir at length that Chazal were Koveh Abirchas HaMitzvah. The bracha is on what? Maisa HaMitzvah? Or is the bracha on a Kiyum, on a Kiyum HaMitzvah? We always assume that a bracha is on a Maisa HaMitzvah, not necessarily on a Kiyum HaMitzvah. Even if I don't fulfill a mitzvah, nonetheless, at times I can recite the bracha. Reb Chaim points out, when I go ahead and I affix your mezuzah, you are fulfilling the mitzvah. But since I am performing the act, the Maisa HaMitzvah, I, the one who is koveya the mezuzah, is the one who recites the bracha. In turn, let's assume, for example, a person purchases a home, and the mezuzah is already there. You purchased a home from a Jewish owner. Everything was in place. As a result of that purchase, I am now fulfilling the mitzvah of mezuzah. But we assume that you don't recite a bracha because you're not performing the act, the maisa mitzvah. There is a Magen Avraham that disagrees. Right, unless you know the Magen Avraham, you never heard of this bracha. But there is a Magen Avraham, or a Chaim in Simin Yotes, that writes that if you were to purchase a home, which now has mezuzahs, you make a bracha. Lodra babayi sheyesh ba mezuzah. You make a bracha. And the key mitzvah of mezuzah. That's what the Magen Avraham writes, the Chiddush. This is not unusual, this Magen Avraham. Because the Magen Avraham assumes generally that a bracha can be recited on a kiyum on a kiyum hamitzvah. Magen Rav discusses, let's assume, for example, it's very late, and a woman did not as of yet bench licht. So, what exactly do you do? Right? If it's ben hashmashos, hadlakas aneros is mutter ayyidei nachri. Hadlakas aneros, ayyidei nachri, ben hashmashos, l'torach mitzvah. So, hadlaka can be done ayyidei nachri. But Magen Avraham writes, you can recite a bracha on that. You can write a bracha on the hadlaka, even though you're not doing the act of the mitzvah, but nonetheless, a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, a chiddush that the Magen Avraham maintains. We don't paskum it. We always assume that my Shabbos is considered to be necessary. So even if one maintained the view of the Halachos Gedolos, one elongated mitzvah, yes, a kiyum ha-mitzvah, but undeniably, in terms of Maisa Mitzvah, they're independent intervals, independent junctures, and therefore, it's possible to recite a bracha. But what really is driving the view of the Halachos Gedolos? If you miss a day, you can no longer continue to count. So Slavinchik explained this view of the Ba'ag in a somewhat novel way, that even Halachos Gedolos maintains that each day is an independent mitzvah. Even the Ba'ag maintains the days that you counted, a mitzvah is fulfilled. Even obviously the Ba'ag maintains a separate bracha on each and every day because each one is an independent mitzvah. What is it that troubles the Ba'ag? If you miss a day, you can no longer continue to count. So Slavichik maintains that what is troubling, what is bothering the Ba'ag is the following, that counting, minyan, misper, counting by definition must be orderly, it must be sequential. And therefore, when you miss a day, if something goes uncounted, you've thrown off the future sequence. If I ask you to count, and you count 1, 2, 3, or 4, that counting is accurate. But if you're going to skip day 5, it's going to throw off the entire sequence from here on end. That which was counted is fully intact. But it is not that it is considered to be a single mitzvah. Each day independent mitzvah. What's unique about counting is counting has to be consecutive. Counting has to be sequential. And if that sequence is disturbed, so in such a case you can no longer continue to count. Why would one maintain that that indeed is true? See, when you look in Tosos, the Menachos, and Asam above, Tosos quotes two issues that the Balei Tosos disagree with the view of the Halachos Gedolos. One is this issue. If you miss a day, you continue to count. The Balei says no, Tosos says yes. Then another seemingly unrelated issue. And that is as follows. Ideally, we mentioned, Tmimos means you count at night. What happens if a person fails to count at night? Are you able to go into count during the day? So Tosos says no. That counting is only at night. Reason to maintain that, look, ideally you count at night, but you can count even during the day as well. So interesting, two different issues. Miss the day, and what happens if you miss the night? Can you count during the day? Seemingly, if I were to ask you, are these issues at all related? Maybe we'll argue, no, not necessarily. You can side with one and disagree with another. One issue is the seamlessness of the entire sphera. Another issue is simply whether Tmimos Tena Balayla is Likuvah, whether it's only a din L'chadchila. Why would you necessarily assume that what is true of one is true of the other? Both happen to be Tosus versus the Halachos Gedolos, but why would you necessarily assume that those two issues are interrelated, that they are indeed dependent on each other? Okay. You know, we know the halacha, we assume in Tav Peites. Let's assume, for example, a person failed to count at night, but he remembered to count during the day. So we'll tell the person the following. You know what, during the day, count without a bracha. And then the coming night, count with a bracha. Right? What exactly is the basis of that? The classic presentation of that psak, which is Tav Peites, is the following. Well, look, you know what? You didn't count during the night. Can you count during the day? Well, that's a suffix. That's a suffix. So count. What have you got to lose? But suffix brachos lahakel, right? Don't make a bracha. What about picking up the next night and counting with a bracha? Well, here already maybe you have what we call a sfeik sfeika. That maybe the counting during the day was a legitimate count. And even if you'll argue, no, that's not true, but Tosu says even if you miss a day entirely, you can go ahead and count. So I have two very good reasons why I should be able to continue to count with the bracha. Number one is maybe counting during the day was a legitimate count. And number two, and even if it wasn't, maybe if you miss a day in its entirety, you can still continue to count. So therefore, midin sfeik sfeika, one is allowed to go ahead and to continue to count. That's how many, many present at that shita. That's how the Truma Sadeshin presents this psak. Midin sfeik sfeika. It's not so simple. It's not so simple. Because this is a significant machlokas, whether you make a bracha in a case of sfeik sfeika. Safek brachas lahakel is only true if it's a single safek, or maybe even if multiple sfeikos. But look, a brach is not li'ikuva, so maybe even in the case of sfeik sfeika, just do the mitzvah. Why risk reciting an unnecessary bracha? Maybe that's true even in a case of a sfeik sfeika. So it's not at all clear that that's true. And I'll tell you the further difficulty. When you look in Tosus and Megillah and Dachav, Tosus quotes the view of the halachos gedolos, that if you don't count at night, you can count during the day. Okay, good. We know that's the bag. You don't count at night, you count during the day. But Tosus writes, you know what the sheet of the bag is? You don't count at night, you count during the day. Belibrach. Belibrach. That's stunning. That's stunning. Up until now, that's not what we said. We said as follows. According to the Bahag, if you don't count at night, you can count during the day with a bracha. According to Tosus, you don't count at night, you're not allowed to count during the day at all. So as a compromise, lahalacha, we assume count, because halachos gedolos allows you to do so. But since Tosus says no, safek brachos lahakel, do not recite a bracha. So if I were to ask you, when you're counting during the day, why don't you recite a bracha? The simple answer is because safek brachos lahakel. That's not what Tosus writes. In Megillah, the Chof Merveis, Tosus maintains even the halachos gedolos that allows you to count during the day, maintains you do so without a bracha. That's difficult, no? That's difficult. If it's a mitzvah, so count with a bracha. And if it's not a mitzvah, why bother counting? What type of shita is this that you count, but you count without a bracha? Why indeed should that be the case? So Slavichik explained, maybe the Bahag Shemitah stood entirely differently. Entirely differently. The Bahag maintains if you miss a day, you can no longer continue to count. Not because it's all one elongated mitzvah, but rather, midin mispar, minyan, sequential order, continuity, that you have to preserve the minyan. Let me ask you. I didn't count. Is there any possible way that I can preserve that sequence? Even though I acknowledge I didn't count, I'll tell you a fascinating view of Rav Haigon. This also was found in the early editions of the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Shinvah. Rav Haigon maintained as follows. You know what? I forgot to count day 10. And tonight is day 11. The sheet of Rav Haigon is as follows, that on night 11, when I'm counting, I can continue to count with a bracha. As long as I acknowledge yesterday was 10, and tonight is 11. That's the shita of Rav Haigon. You can't jump right from 9 to 11. But if you acknowledge that 10 was missed and tonight is 11, then you can go ahead and do so. What is the lumdus of the shita of Haigon? That by saying yesterday was 10, I fulfilled the mitzvah of counting day 10. I didn't count day 10. But you acknowledge that there was a gap, there was a missed day. What do you accomplish by acknowledging that's a gap? Clearly that's not the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, but you know what the chiddush is that for preservation of sequence or minyan, Rav Haigon goes on a limb and maintains that that can be preserved even though the day is missed. Well, we don't pass him like Rav Haigon. You miss day 10. We don't allow you to count 11 with the bracha saying yesterday was 10. But I'll tell you, just to backstep slightly, that's the view of the halachos gedolos. If day 10 is gone, so you can't just simply say yesterday was. But you know what? If it's still day 10, you can still say today is. Today is. The mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer requires timilos tiena, counting at night. But the preservation of the minyan of Sfiras HaOmer, that will remain intact as long as it is still that day, and I'm acknowledging that today is. In other words, the chiddush, according to the halachos gedolos, the Sfira Beyom is not the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, but rather it preserves, it maintains the continuity to allow you to count in the coming night with a bracha. If the purpose of counting during the day is not the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, but rather the preservation of minyan, you understand very well why Tosus maintains, even according to Halachos Gedolos, counting during the day is done without a bracha. And those two halachos of the Baal Halachos Gedolos, you can count during the day, but if you miss a day, you can only continue to count. We suggested before, maybe these are completely unrelated. No, they're fully related. It's precisely because the Baal maintains, if you miss a day, you can no longer continue to count. And what's driving that view is that once you miss a day, the sequence is broken. That's exactly why the Baal maintains that there's an option of acknowledging on that day that this is day 10, that will preserve the sequence to allow you, l'shitase, to go into count tonight with a bracha. And if I were to ask you, why are you counting night 11 with a bracha, the answer is not sveik sveika. I didn't mention the word sveik sveika. This is the shita of the halachos gedolos, that you miss a day, you can no longer continue to count because you failed to preserve the minyan. Counting must be sequential. If you acknowledged on that day, today is 10, you're allowed to continue to count tonight with a bracha b'toras vaday, not b'toras sveik sveika, but b'toras vaday. Maybe that's the view of the Halachos Gedolos, a fantastic diyun. And that would mean the following, that you don't require the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer to preserve the sequence of Sfiras Omer. That's the view of the Halachos Gedolos. Where else would you see that this is true? You know, a very common theme raised during this time is what happens if a boy becomes bar mitzvah during the Yemei HaSfira. What exactly does he do? Here, if you look in Tav Pei Tes, the Mechasein HaMitzvah Shin Vav, you'll find all possibilities. Either an extreme, that regardless of what the Katan did up until now, he religiously counted each and every day. Once he becomes bar mitzvah, he has to stop. Because what he counted before, he was not doing out of any sense of obligation, and therefore, what right does he have to continue counting with a bracha? Maybe you can argue that the opposite is true, is regardless of what he did, he didn't count a single day up until now. But his obligation begins on the night of his bar mitzvah, day 20, day 21, he can now start counting with a bracha. And the most common sak, right? That as long as he counted each and every day up until now, because he could continue to count with the bracha begavus. That's what we accept by halacha. Why exactly is that true? So one could argue that maybe that revolves around the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch. We discussed at length in earlier shiurim that, you know, Sfiras HaOmer, according to Rov Roshonim, is only derabanan. And Rov Roshonim maintained that midrabanan, the view of Tosus Maran, a katan, is a bar chiyuva. So maybe even his counting while he was a katan is a bar chiyuva, and it's only a mitzvah derabanan, so therefore, maybe that allows you to continue to count. So Soleitchik maintained regardless of whether Sfiras Darais and Sfiras Drabanan, regardless of whether a katan is or is not a bar chiyuva. But if the reason the Halachos Gedolos maintains you can no longer continue to count when a day is missed is because you failed to maintain the sequence of counting, and counting the yom is an indicator that you don't require the full mitzvah of Sfiras Omer to preserve that minyan. So maybe one could argue, regardless, even if Sfira was daraisa, and even if a katan is not a bar chiyuva, like the shita of Rashi, the Ramban, that it's a parental obligation, but perhaps it's sufficient to maintain the sequence of count, and therefore to allow the katan to continue to count, even when he comes a bar chiyuva. You know, there is a tshuva no debut in Simon Chav Zayin. No debut discusses Rachmana L'tzlan, a person becomes an onen during the period of Sfiras HaOmer. And an onen does not perform mitzvahs. Rashi assumes it's because of Osek B'mitzvah, and only is exempt. Tosos calls the Yishamin Omishim Kvod HaMeis. It's inappropriate to go ahead and use this. What does an Omi do when it comes to Sfiras Omer? He's not going to go ahead and count. So what happens if an entire day will go by between the Nisa and the Kvura? He's going to miss that day, and therefore he can no longer continue to count. So what do you do? He should count. Yeah, but an Omi is not allowed to perform a mitzvah. So fascinating deal. And then, no debiuta. Can the onin count not for the purpose of a mitzvah, but simply to preserve the minion to allow him to go and do so? And not let him count without a bracha? Or let an onin count during the day, where it's not a mitzvah, but it's just the preservation of the minion of Sfir Somer? That's what the no debiuta maintains. Just the following ha'ara, Sipe Sefer Gad. Wait a second. The whole issue, and that no debiuta really is as follows. What does the onin do? Because the Yerushalmi does not allow him to perform the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. Forget about the Yerushalmi. Let's forget about the Yerushalmi for the time being. Rashi, only Osek B'mitzvah, but he's allowed to do so. He's allowed, but everyone agrees he's exempt. The Yerushalmi goes as far as to say, you can't. Okay. But according to Rashi, you can. No, good, you can. But even according to Rashi, his own in his partner. So maybe I would argue as follows. Even if you can, but nonetheless, that when you count, you're not obligated in the count. So who says that's good enough to continue to count with the bracha? After all, if it's one mitzvah, and you require the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer to maintain the sequence, I would argue that no one would say that an onein would be allowed to continue to count after the kvura, because that even if he did count, he was exempt. And without an obligation of Sfiras Omer, who says that's called Tmimus Tiena? One thing you see even from the Biuda, that even though you're exempt, the preservation of the minyan can be maintained. You don't need a chiyuv. An onin is not chayiv. Now, the only question is whether an onin is allowed to, because Yerushalmi writes, it's inappropriate for an onin to go ahead and to do so. But those are fascinating possibilities in terms of a biur of that view of the halachos, gedolos. One of the reasons the Ramban emphasizes the prominence of the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer is to link, as mentioned, the yantif of Pesach with that of Shavuos, to recognize that Chayrus is only meaningful if it's channeled in the experience, of course, of Kabbalah Sator. And that, of course, is what we celebrate and commemorate during Chag HaShavuos, the fact that it is Zman Matan Torah Seinu. It's fascinating that when one looks at the parshios of Kabbalah Sator, even in Sefer Shmos, without even the Eschanan, where the Torah revisits and recaps Mamad Har Sinai, but even within Sefer Shmos, you find two parshios of Kabbalah Sator. Yisro, of course, Aseres HaDibros, but then Parshas Mishpatim. You look at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, all of a sudden the Torah tells us, Vel Moshe Amar Aleiha Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, ascend at Har Sinai. Ascend Hasina. Well, of course. We already went through that. Now, both Yisro and Mishpatim emphasize, right, the significance of Kabbalah Satorah and Mamad Hasina. There's indeed a machlokas, Rashi and Ramban. What came first? No. Rashi applies the principle of Ein Mukta Murcha B'Torah, first Parsha Shmiratim. Alei Al Ahar, right, was Dalet Sivan, subsequently Parsha Yisro. And the Ramban, Kedarka Bakodesh, very hesitant to apply that principle of Ein Mukta Murcha B'Torah, assumes that no, that sequentially, first Parshas Yisro, followed by Parshas Mishpatim. But no doubt, both according to Rashi and according to Ramban, that why exactly is it that we have two Parshas of Kabbalah Sator? What exactly is that dual emphasis? And perhaps the answer really is as follows. See, if I were to ask you, what exactly is the significance of the Torah Hashem? How would you define the Torah Hashem? Our relationship to the Torah Hashem. So on the one hand, you would tell me that clearly, that the Torah Hashem is a Sefer HaMitzvos. It's a sefer hamitzvos. That certainly is true. That certainly is true. But I would tell you that that's true, that's necessary, but it's not sufficient. The Torah Hashem is not only a sefer hamitzvos, but it's also a sefer habris. It's a covenant, a covenant. Mamad Har Sinai was an acceptance of mitzvos, but also a knisa labris, a knisa labris. And here the prescribe suggests that that is paralleled in the two parshiyos. Parshas Yisra represents the Sefer HaMitzvahs, no? The Seras HaDibras, the Taryag Mitzvahs, Ner Moshe Mishinai. I've often mentioned, the Medrash writes that, what is the prominence of a Seras HaDibras? A Seras HaDibras represents the totality of all of Taryag Mitzvahs. The Medrash writes that if you count out all the letters from Anochi until Asher L'Recha, you know what? They're 613 letters, no? Corresponding to the Taryag Mitzvahs. The Medrash tells us Asher L'Recha is another seven. One day in Medrash, for example, the Sheva Mitzvos, Bnei Noach, right? All of the Aseres HaDibros, that represents the totality of. And there are so many indicators in Chazal that the Aseres HaDibros represent each and every one of the mitzvos HaTorah. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Bnei Yisrael were engaged in the chait of the Egel Hazav, Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchos. How did Moshe Rabbeinu know that that was an appropriate response? Yerushalmi writes, what do you mean? A single mitzvah. The Torah tells us, Korban Pesach, an Oril, an Ovid of Adazar, lo yochabo. So, the Seres HaDibros, that represents all of the Taryag Mitzvos. Yerushalmi writes, certainly, Knesset Yisrael, who is Ovid of Adazar, is not entitled to be the recipient of, but many Makoros and Chazal, that the Seres HaDibros represent the Taryag Mitzvos. Rashi writes that that was a contribution of Rav Sadiagon that arranged all the Taryag Mitzvos into not just two groups of Mitzvos Asay and Mitzvos Lo Asay, but 10 categories of Aseres HaDibros. Each one of the Aseres HaDibros represent a grouping of the Taryag Mitzvos. Taryag Mitzvos, Ner Moshe Mishinai. There's an unbelievable sheet of the Bali HaTosos where the Torah tells us a Melech has to write a Sefer Torah. And Vayisimo, Bekorbo, Kol Yimei Chayav. Not so simple. How exactly does a Melech carry the Sefer Torah with him all the time? The Gemara writes in Sanhedrin, also, so min kameya, he makes it into like an amulet, the tolel zero, no? And he places it on his arm, but a little unusual, no? You know, we've seen small Sefer Torah, but even a small Sefer Torah is pretty significant. No, it's hard to go ahead and to make it into an amulet and affix it to your arm. How exactly is that done? You look, mamish mechunish, the mikros gedolos, right? The baliotosos, right? Dasik and baliotosos. The melech would always carry with him a seres adibros that represented the totality of the Torah Hashem, of all of Taryag Mitzvos. Right. So the Seres HaDibros, no, Parshis Yisrael, that represent the Mitzvos HaTorah, the Mitzvos HaTorah. Parshis Mishpatim has a different theme. That is the Knisa Labris. Now, Gerus, Mankrisus and Daftes. A person wants to be a ger. What do you do? The answer is kachem kavoseichem. Whatever we did at Mamad Har Sinai, that's the formula for gerus. Because it's not merely a sefer mitzvos, but rather is a knisa lavris. You know, this is not my chiddush, this is what the pasuk says, no? The pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, vayikach sefer habris. The Torah refers to itself as a sefer habris in Parshas Mishpatim. And therefore, two parshios, a sefer hamitzvos and a sefer habris. You know, what's the appropriate answer? If I ask you, are you willing to observe the Taryag Mitzvos? So what would the appropriate response be? If I ask you, are you willing to enter into a bris? What would the appropriate response be? I would tell you the response is a very different one, no? To question A, are you willing to observe the Taryag Mitzvos? You know what the answer is? Nothing. But the question B, are you willing to enter into the bris? You know what the answer is? Nasa v'nishma, no? And that's exactly the case. In Parshas Yisro, you don't find Nasa v'nishma. Nasa, no? That's the appropriate response to the challenge of the mitzvos. A knisa l'bris, v'yikach sefer bris, the answer is not nasa. That's not what I asked you, no? Targum writes, Nasa v'nishma means navid unekabel, na'avi unekabel. You need a kabbalas habris, acceptance of, entering into a covenant. That is nasa v'nishma. So I will tell you that formulation that is so explicit in Pasuk, of course, it's so obvious that the response to the mitzvah sator is nasa. The response to a knisa labris is considered to be that which is nasa v'nishma. That, I would suggest, is the resolution to Tosus's question. You know, the known Tosus, Shabbos HaPeches. Vayisyatzu, the Sachti Sahar, we stood literally under the mountain, means Kofin Harkigigis, that Har Sinai was suspended above us. As though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that, you know what, you have little choice. No? You accept it, fine. If not, then Shamte Kvarashim. No? But Tosus says, how do you balance that with Nasa v'nishma? Nasa v'nishma sounds as though that the Ahava Uvaratzon, we accepted the Torah Hashem. How do you manage, right, to do so? Tosus gives the following answer. Initially, we said Nasa v'nishma. We expressed our willingness to. In order to ensure that we didn't retract, then Kaflein Harkigigis. That's what Tosus writes. Or the Midrash Tanchuma writes in Parshas Noach that maybe differently Torah Shebichsav is up to Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebichsav was Nasa v'nishma, Beratzal, but there was an element of Kfiya that was used for the acceptance of Torah Shebalpeh. But maybe one could suggest that Vayitziatzvu and Nasa v'nishma represents those two elements, those two elements. When you think about the Torah of Hashem as a sefer ha-mitzvahs, you know, this is not discretionary. No, the mitzvahs Hashem are mandated. You must. Not that, you know, that you may. You must. You must. There I would tell you that from the perspective of a sefer ha-mitzvahs, of course, Vayisyatzu. But in terms of a sefer ha-bris, that must be meiratz, a kabbalah sabris. I will tell you that it's not incidental at all that Vayisyatzu is found in Parshas Yisra, and the Nasa v'nishma is found in Parshas Mishpatim. That the kabbalah sabris is meiratz, but sefer hamitzvos means that this is mandated, and that I would tell you is the amazing convergence, the confluence of these two elements. You know, even within the phrase of Nasa v'nishma, who says Nasa v'nishma? Who would say Nasa v'nishma? So I'll tell you two different models, now both of which I think are absolutely true. Who says Nasa v'nishma? If you look at the Sfarna, there, in the Pasuk of Nasa v'nishma, Parshas Mishpatim, the Sfarna writes, you know who says Nasa v'nishma? An Eved. You know, an Eved doesn't have a right of refusal. An Eved cannot say no. So the appropriate response of an Eved is Nasa v'nishma. If you can't refuse, the answer is, I will do it. Just tell me what has to be done. In other words, that Nasa v'nishma is an indicator of avdus, of avdus. If you look in Rashi and Shabbos and Daf Peches, this Rashi isn't often cited. This is Rav Peches and Mudeis, right? Many of the sugyas are Peches and Aleph, know about the Kabbalah Sator. But Rashi and Daf Peches and Mudeis writes, you know who says Nasa v'nishma? Kederech ha'osim me'av. Wow, that's Rashi writes. Av. I would tell you there are two models of a person that says Nasa v'nishma. One is an Eved and one is an Ohe. No? Avdus, you necessarily respond Nasa v'nishma. But as a midah of Ava, you know how you respond? The response is not that Nishma v'nasa. The emotive response of Ava is that the answer is yes. What exactly is being asked of you? It's almost like, you know, that's kind of incidental. But the answer is you're going to do everything passionately that you possibly can. I would tell you that Nasa v'nishma is avdus or it's a midas avdus. And what's remarkable is that when you deal with a relationship that a person has to a bas of adam, those two concepts are in diametric opposition, an eved and an ohev. We don't usually associate avdus with avdus. Avdus is like yira, but not something which is avdus. But when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, That certainly is not true. The uniqueness of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that it's a convergence, a confluence of Avdus and Ava. Avdus and Ava. Why is there a contradiction? The greatest accolade is to be in Eved Hashem. No? The Torah describes Moshe, being Elokein Avdi Moshe, B'chobesi Nemanu. To be an Eved Hashem, that certainly is true. And that is something that a person embraces with a sense of simcha, what we recited yesterday in Davening, that no, Yismach Moshe, B'mat Neschelko, Ki Eved Neman, Karosolo. To be an Eved Neman is the greatest source of simcha. For a Basar V'dam, those terms never, never go together. But for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, by definition, of course that's true. That's Avdus, which is Machmas Ava. Machmas Ava. And I would tell you that those two elements are necessary. They're manifest. In order to stress the uniqueness of our relationship, you have to have Vayisyatsu, which is that element of the Sefer HaMitzvos of Ava, but you also have to have the Nasa V'Nishma, which is, as Rashi writes, the Kederach Sha'osim Me'Ava. Both are absolutely, absolutely critical in order to go into manifest relationship. A few years ago, I was asked to participate in the Sima Shas in Lublin, right before there we were at the Kever of the Sfazemes. They asked me to say over, right, the Advar Torah of the Sfazemes. I mentioned this exact point, that the Sfazemes, right, in his Beis Medrash on Sukkis, turned to the Hasidim and said, we're about to recite Hallel, and when you say Ana Hashem, one should do so with passion, with fervor. Right? That was his instruction. So when they got to Ana Hashem Hoshiana, like half of the tzibur responded passionately. Another half was kind of silent. No? When they got to Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, the others responded. And a whole tumult, that what exactly did he mean? What was clear, this was made clear subsequently, that both were incorrect. His reference was to Ana Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha. It wasn't the Hoshiana Haslichana, but rather it was the passion, the Ava of being an Eved and Eved Hashem. I would just add the following. When you look carefully in that kapitul in Tilman, you'll find the following, that Ana, interesting, that the Kesem Ram Tov writes that Ana is Milara. Most people say Ana Hashem. No, Kesem Ram Tov writes should be Ana Hashem, Ana Hashem. But it's spelled two different ways. In Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Tzichana, you look in the Siddur, in Allah, it's Aleph Nun Aleph. In Ana Hashem Kini Avdecha, it's spelled Aleph Nun Hei. Aleph Nun Hei. So the Radak already writes in Tilvim, there in that capital, that there's a world of difference. That Aleph Nun Aleph is please. It's please. It's Lashon Bakasha. And that's Hoshiana Tzichana. But Aleph Nun Hei, the Radak writes his Hodah. This Hodah. That's not please. That's thank you. That's thank you. So please, Hashem, Hoshina Tzlichana, but Ana Hashem Kini Avdecha means thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have the schus of being an Eved Hashem. Well, that's the potency. I think of that convergence of Nasa V'Nishma and Vayisyasu, the Sachte Zahar. I'll just mention one just last point. There is a Gemara in Yavamos, Mem Vav, that writes, let's assume, for example, a non-Jew becomes an Eved Kanani. You need like a Gerus. You need a Gerus, right? After all, Eved Kanani is chayiv in almost all mitzvahs. It's a form of Gerus. You need milah, tefillah. It's a Gerus. It's not just simply work. No. It's more than that. No. A kinyan shalis. So it's necessary that the Eved has to be tovel in mikvah. So the Eved immerses himself in the mikvah. But you have to demonstrate that this is a tefillah of Avdus. This isn't a tefillah of full gerus to become a Ben Yisrael. This is a tefillah of Avdus. So how do you demonstrate that this is a tefillah of Avdus? The Gemara says something a little bit unusual. No? Not so clear what the source of this is. But take a look, unbelievable. So give almost a memva. The Gemara says the following, that the Eved immerses himself in the mikvah, but the Adam stands above the mikvah and places a zulta detina areshe. Zulta detina means a kli, a vessel, which is made out of clay, is placed over the head of the Eved. in order to indicate that this tefillah is a tefillah of Avdus. Zot detina areshi. You see the Gemara, like, you wonder, like where in the world, like, what did this come from? Poshup shat. That this is exactly, Kaflein harkikis. Huh? The Geirus of Klal Yisrael and Harsinai is the Geirus of Avdus. But the Simcha of being an Eved Hashem. So that's exactly the Moshel, that this is an opportunity of Avdus. In other words, there's a privilege of Mamet Harsinai, but an immense responsibility as well of Mamet Harsinai. And the privilege and the responsibility go hand in hand. One cannot envision the privilege of without the responsibility. You can't have a Knesset Bris without the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And maybe a Fasim Machlokas Rashi Rabban is going to think about what comes first. No? Our parshios have first Yisro, which is the Sefer HaMitzvahs, climaxing in the Sefer HaBris, that's the Rabban, and the Rashi of Ein Mukta Mukha B'Torah, that you begin with the Knesset Bris, and it manifests itself in terms of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So one can understand both possibilities very poignantly. But these are the two elements of Kabbalah Satorah, the need for two different parashiyos. We wouldn't realize the significance of both elements if seamlessly HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a single parsha of Kabbalah Satorah. So therefore, two different parashiyos, two different motifs, elements, a Sefer HaMitzvahs, a Knesset Bris, a Nasa V'Nishma, the element of Avdus, element of Ava, both of which are manifest in the time of Kabbalah Satorah itself. It's always important, the threshold of Shu'as, to recognize the responsibility that we have to uphold the Sefer HaMitzvahs, but the privilege of a Knesset Bris, the element of Hodah, Avana Hashem Kiniyatach.